Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herzer with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked about Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Commanders, and the situation after situation of malpractice or really creepy behavior or really awful behavior that has taken place over that franchise over the course of the past, 20, 25, 30 years at this point. Some more developments yesterday, this coming out that Dan Snyder, quote, may have engaged in a troubling, long-running, and potentially unlawful pattern of financial conduct, end quote, coming out yesterday, that allegedly involved withholding as much as $5 million in refundable deposits from season ticket holders and also hiding money that was supposed to be shared among NFL owners as well. This was from a letter that was sent to the House Committee on Oversight and Reform to the Federal Trade Commission on Tuesday. So another development in the Dan Snyder situation, a 20-page letter, a copy of which was obtained by the Washington Post, details the allegations made by Jason Friedman, a former vice president of sales and customer service who worked for the franchise for 24 years. This coming from the Washington Post. What do you make of the latest in the Dan Snyder saga that just continues to really never end over there with the Washington Commanders?
Yeah, well, if you're a real scumbag like Daniel Snyder has revealed himself to be, like you're going to end up having these whistleblowers who used to work for you. And, this quote, so ESPN, first of all, Front Office Sports also broke some of this. They deserve credit for that. AJ Perez, like you said, the Washington Post got the letter. We got the letter of The Athletic. This ESPN piece, Raja Krishnamoorthy, he's a rep from Illinois, said, quote, quite frankly, as you go through the allegations, it reads like a description of some organization out of The Godfather, not an NFL football team. Really helps color the culture and impunity that other witnesses have described and the evidence of severe dysfunction. I mean, it really is just, my God. And this is, it is very much like, it just reminds me of Al Capone. For people who don't know who Al Capone is, he was one of the most famous gangsters of all time, did a lot of horrible, horrible things, but they finally got him on tax evasion.
Yep.
They couldn't get him on murder and conspiracy to commit murder and all these different things and, blackmail. I mean, obviously you're talking about decades of being a crime boss, but they got him on tax evasion. And I think with the NFL owners, we don't need to rehash. I mean, if you're not aware of, like, Daniel Snyder's tracker, I mean, it is some
lengthy.
Just the stuff with like the cheerleaders and the trip, it's just gross. A just awful place. But this will be the thing that does them in, because if you're trying to take money out of the pockets of the other owners, all right, you're out, buddy. You're out.
It does kind of feel like this is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. And this could finally be the thing that forces him out. It does feel that way, which I know that Washington Commanders fans would – just love it if that were the case. Could be the greatest thing to ever happen to that franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
Other than Carson Wentz, of course.
I mean, this would almost yeah, you know, the Joe Gibbs days were great, but I mean, getting rid of Daniel Snyder, I think that might be a bigger parade for them. I mean, do they deserve it? And it's just an awful. I mean, and of course, it also, you know, look at just the football stuff has been awful too.
Yeah.
In every way. Just abhorrent. But the fact that you would do this, and it just doesn't seem like, is it really worth it to do this? It's like you're just committing crimes because you like to be a deviant.
Well, my first thought when I saw the $5 million in like withholding season ticket funds was like, what is $5 million to Dan Snyder?
Is that like why his are you secret cameras in bathrooms fund?
I don't know. Like, why are you doing this? You're an NFL owner. You're worth billions of dollars. What is the $5 million making a difference to you or not?
Like, he just wants to do bad things. I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, this is going to be – you know, it's between him and Stephen Ross. It's really interesting. Obviously, you have the Brian Flores lawsuit, which, of course, is a big deal. And the NFL has to deal with that. But they also, and I think this was Charles reporting this, had they put a separate investigator on the, you know, paying to lose games thing, because that is that's a direct hit to the integrity of the product. So let's make no mistake about what's more important to them. And by the way, that looks like there's some corroboration on that. And so we may be looking at a couple owners who are no longer owners in the NFL.
Well, move in Brady to Miami next year. They'll be in there. Maybe majority owner at that point.
That there you go. Majority owner slash quarterback slash punter.
It's interesting. Like we spend a lot of time talking about the most dysfunctional organizations, really in sports, but certainly in the NFL. We talk about, obviously, the Lions. We have fun at their expense. The Jags here locally, because they're just a disaster in the Titans division. Same thing with the Texans. Everybody likes to make fun of the Cleveland Browns. Like, there's a list you can go up and down. Like, Washington may be the one. Like, they've actually been better on the field than they probably should have been as of late. Like, I think, didn't they make the playoffs 2 years ago?
Yeah.
In the god-awful NFC East? But it, like, just in terms of the complete picture, when you combine not really being all that great on the field and just everything that's gone on behind the scenes there, they might be the winner. Like, they might be the most dysfunctional organization in sports.
Well, yeah, and it just depends on what we're talking about.
Sure.
You know, on the field and all the – I mean, like, Jacksonville's right there. And obviously the Raiders certainly off the field have had quite a run here. But just consistently, like, what are you doing, and what is this story? Oh my God, what did they do? Like, I can't think of anything that can compare to what Washington's been over the last few years. Yeah, you know, again, like, Daniel Snyder used to be like, oh yeah, he's just like the meddling idiot owner who makes bad decisions, and look at how he's ruined them on the field. And so the fans were mad. But it's gone from that to, oh my God, like, this is just a terrible person who should not be anywhere near the league. And he's trying to rob the other owners of pennies.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Nate on the text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. How much more does Snyder have to do to be kicked out of the NFL? I get the NFL doesn't like to have teams, and it's hard to kick someone out of the league, but man, Snyder is surely trying his best to be kicked out of the NFL.
This will do it. I call a shot right now.
Car shot Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, which isn't even that much of a shot.
I mean, he was already, like, being
phased
out anyway, in terms of, like, he wasn't around and he wasn't allowed to be around. I think his wife was handling most of the day-to-day operations ownership-wise down there. But, like, this is, he's gone.
I would think. Don't put anything past NFL owners.
That is true.
You know, certainly. I mean, it's a long it's a drawn out, convoluted process, you know, to get it done. But I just can't imagine how everyone wouldn't be motivated now. And before, as much nastiness as there was, I could see how plenty of owners would be like, well, you know, Dan's my friend.
Yeah.
He invited me to their little getaway. I had a wonderful time, you know.
Now they're taking money away from him.
Yeah, yeah. So, I really think that this is going to do it. And good for you, Washington Commanders fans.
Maybe a whole lot more Washington Commanders fans coming up. The name change itself should inspire some fans. The Commanders, talk about an intimidating name.
Yeah.
Now yeah. Carson Wentz is your quarterback. I mean, why wouldn't you be excited?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of momentum there in the nation's capital.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Make sure you're checking out this weekend. We celebrate the career of the one and only Terry Crisp. Join us Saturday when we reunite the dynamic duo that introduced Preds hockey to the world as Crispy joins Pete Weber to call the game on radio against the Blackhawks right here on 102.5 The Game, with coverage starting at 10:30. Then Pete and Crispy shift to the TV booth for Sunday's game against the Blues when Crispy will be honored during the game in a special ceremony. You won't want to miss it. By the way, Terry Crisp joining us on the show coming up Friday morning at 8:30 as well. So big weekend of celebration coming up for Terry Crisp in advance of his retirement from broadcasting with the Nashville Predators. We'll continue to take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to just an incredible, heart-wrenching story, really, that Joe put me onto yesterday as well regarding Penn State. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. Tickets for the Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up on August 5th through the 7th, go on sale today at 10 a.m. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win 3-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix. Just text the word RACE to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. More details on the Music City Grand Prix can be found at musiccitygp.com. Remember, tickets go on sale shortly today at 10 a.m. Joe, you kind of put me onto a story yesterday on ESPN.com that is really incredible. And it's a read where it's kind of difficult to explain what it's like reading it in terms of just how well done the piece is, but how horrific some of the information in the piece is. And it goes back to Penn State. And obviously, most people are familiar with the Jerry Sandusky situation of everything that went on there with he and Joe Paterno and the molestation that went on there in terms of their football program. Everybody thought, well, that was kind of the beginning days of those types of actions at Penn State. And this report from ESPN.com, which is really, really well done, highlights that, in fact, it was not the first time and that there was a recruit back in the 70s that went on quite kind of the rampage that was really silent until now, until this great story on ESPN.com. Just kind of tell people what this story is, what it's about, and just kind of, it's incredible to read. It's really well done, but it's very difficult to read in the same fashion.
Yeah, it is. And it look, it takes a long time. I know when I was here yesterday after the show, I went, Elijah was in the, I'm like, go read this right now, man. Just take the time, read it. So you look at it from, you know, from a journalistic perspective, it's incredible the amount of work they did. I have to assume, I haven't read anything on how long it took, but this must be more than a year in the making. I know that they got together some of the women who were survivors of this rapist last summer, and they tried to get some answers from Penn State, and it's hard to, like, I can't explain the whole story to you, but essentially, well, the headline is the most dangerous player in college football history, a serial rapist and murderer, as it turns out, who was let out on bail after being convicted of rape. But also the story of, you know, Penn State players going, I mean, this woman at that time who had the courage to go through the whole process, stand in the courtroom, point at him, say that was him, and these Penn State football players who didn't believe it could be true, basically like going, and you could say to show support, but it's also a little bit of like an intimidation thing, and just what she went through after she then came back to school and was hearing things on campus. It's just but it's incredible work. And I want to – wait, now I've forgotten the name of the Penn State tackle who's got to be like an all-time hero for this. He actually played in the NFL. Gosh darn it. His name's eluding me. But he basically went to her, to this one woman whose name – there are other women in the story who don't give their full names. They give their first names. They don't want to be photographed, things like that. Some who just don't want to talk about this. Talking about 40-plus years of having to live with these – I mean, we're talking about assaults at knife point. Yep. The details and all, it's tough. I mean, it's a really hard read, but it's also really worthwhile. And as one Penn State football player – I don't want to give away the whole story. Everybody should read it and spend the time with it because, again, it's just incredibly detailed. And to me, you know, heartfelt work too, you know, and getting these people and getting these people together and trying to find answers. But he went to her, this woman who was, you know, the woman who got Hodney convicted and was like, I'm going to protect you. And basically the rest of her time at Penn State, and they're still friends, and they had him in the story too with her, you know, in the piece, but basically just like walked her around campus and stuff like that. There's a lot to it. It's honestly one of the best pieces of journalism I've ever read. So check it out at ESPN.com.
Yeah, we'll tweet that link out too here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I just retweeted. So it's Paul Levine and Tom Junod wrote this. So I'm going to, real quick, Tom Junod had a thread on why they did this, because Penn State people were like, why are we doing this 43 years? And Joe Paterno is part of the story too, yep, by the way. And honestly, like the Paterno aspect of it, some of it is definitely like, ugh, you know, you got like calling up the victims, saying, are you okay? But also like maybe trying to find out what really is going on, like something you can't do. I mean, that, you know, we talk about Art Briles, right?
Yep.
Like you can't do this stuff. I will say I didn't come away from this story like thinking a lot different of Joe Paterno. I'm not surprised that in 1978 that would happen. Not excusing him, but I'm just saying I don't come away. But I mean, there's a lot of automatic from Penn State, like, why is the story? Why are you picking on us again? Things like that. The lives this guy wrecked, Todd Hodney. I mean, it's awful. And they detail how many families had their lives absolutely destroyed by this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to read. And look, it's a long story, but it's well worth the read. And one of those things too, where like you can't believe that something like this really hadn't been all that uncovered until now. And here we
never
are in 2022. This is big story on ESPN.com. It's incredible.
And this is, I mean, you know, this is to me like why it's important. And yes, it's important to still do stories about things that happened a long time ago. So here's Tom Junod. So he said, when Paul Levine and I were reporting our story, we were often asked why we're interested in a story 43 years after it happened. My answer is the story itself and the voices of the women who have had to live with Hodney's assaults for 43 years. They are remarkable. They are heroic. They are unflinching. These women are all in their 60s. They've been carrying the story around for most of their lives. But once they start talking, they reach back into time and make time disappear. Why spend 2 years reporting and writing a story that happened 43 years ago? This is why. Once we started talking to Hodney's victims, we couldn't imagine doing anything else. And so again, I can't recommend it more. I almost like just pinned it to my profile. I should just pin it to my profile. It's like a story from ESPN. But I want everyone to read it. Yes, if you're like in journalism, yeah, this is going to win like Pulitzers. I mean, it's remarkable work. But also, like, it's so important. And it's another look at the brand, the school, the football team going before the human being. It happens. It happens over and over, and it will happen again. And when, you know, when your school that you love, you know, when the sexual assault charges happen or a Title IX investigation happens and your immediate reaction is yelling at the messenger or trying to poke holes in the story, you know, this is a good one to look at and see how hard it is for people who are assaulted to even get anyone to listen to them in the first place.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, Hodney is dead. He died, you know, a couple years ago in April, I believe, of cancer was what he died from.
In prison.
So, you know, even at that point, the scope of this was not known as to exactly how much damage had been done and what sort of a monster that he really was. But, I mean, he was in prison at the time, has died of cancer since then. But to that point, like, it's incredible that the amount of work that's gone into this. Like you said, it had to be. Like, just judging by the detail and the reading on this, they had to have been working on this for a long time.
And thank you, John, and Thompson Station. Yeah, Irv Pankey was the tackle. He played in the NFL, very good player. I mean, he's all-time hero to me now, like reading this story. Because you got teammates of his who are catcalling her as she walks on campus. It's just, or just regular students, too, you know. I mean, just imagine that. She's like, she's already, like, the guy has gotten convicted in a court of law that he raped her, and still she's taking crap. So he's like, that's it. And Irv Pankey also, basically, according to the story, it was him and, like, most of the black guys on the team. There weren't a lot. in the 70s were kind of like her protective crew for the rest of her college career. I mean, there's a lot of inspiring stuff in here, too, along with the awfulness. So it's pretty remarkable. Can't recommend it too much.
Yep, and there's it's kind of separated in three different acts. They do a good job of kind of separating, you know, what goes on and just kind of highlighting the entire story here. Again, we'll tweet that out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Joe Rexroad has retweeted it as well, at Joe Rexroad. But one of those things where you read it, you get done reading it, and you think to yourself, like, how could this have happened? And how could this have taken place without anybody really knowing about it? I get it. It's the 70s, and it was a different time, and there's, you know, technology's different now, too, and there's all these different things. But, man, it was crazy to read this yesterday.
Well, there's a few things, too, that one is, like, local media, you know, it was, like, discouraged from even identifying him as a Penn State football player. Well, we don't want to make Penn State mad, you know. And you just like, ah. And then the judge, I mean, the judge who let him go out on bail got people raped and murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, the judge convicted him and let him go on bail. And the judge has passed away. Like, it's, you know, mind-boggling. Another thing is there was an interview with Hodney from prison. It was one of his parole interviews.
Yeah.
And a really interesting sort of a lot of comments from him about how his entire value of his life he put into football. And now, again, does that explain what he did? No, but it was still interesting. And he also, he obviously was a con artist throughout his life. So you have to take it all with a grain of salt. But he had some interesting comments on how, like, basically the only thing he ever found value in himself was crushing someone on the football field. And, you know, struggled other than that. But, I mean, you're talking about a monster. And, again, no one knew who this guy was until yesterday.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, I had just finished reading it, and you guys are correct. It's one of the best reads ever. I can't believe what had happened. The people were actually like this and to think that some got away with it for so long. You just never want to believe that someone can do this or be exposed to this. I recommend this to everyone. This coming from Mark from Clarksville on the text line.
Yeah. Now, please take the time. And it applies today. Next time at your school, you know, just keep an open mind on things, because I understand, you know, the emotion, especially I think for college football. I think college football, the emotion of the fan base is beyond anything else. And it can be good and it can be bad.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45 as well. Joe Rexroad claps in approval to the Rob Rant.
I mute clap, though.
Yes. I won't count that one against you as a mute.
Okay.
Teresa Thanks. Walker at 8 o'clock as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together. Come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. You can sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise. com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Max Herz here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeff texting in says, good morning. I get always looking to improve, but with all the Titans released and with most having no trouble being quickly acquired and being good contributing players on their new teams, at what point is it fair to begin questioning draft selection competency, which has been done, but also their player development coaching? Should it take 2 years to build a competent right tackle out of a good college player you liked enough to draft early? This coming from Jeff on the text line.
I think that's a fair question, Jeff. I will remind you of Dylan Radins. So he played at a lower level college football. He played left tackle. He played for 2 years. He played in 2018 and 2019. He did not play in 2020. He was drafted. He was switched to the right side. He was not ready. And clearly not ready. You know, now granted, part of camp also with him was like, Ola what is blowing past him?
Yeah.
Ola who? And Ola Danny is actually, you know, ends up being a good player. But regardless, Dylan Raidens was not good in camp. He clearly wasn't ready. I gotta say, like, all those factors, probably it shouldn't be that surprising that there's a bigger learning curve. Not saying it's ideal. Not saying the Titans knew all along, oh, yeah, he'll come in and stink, and, you know, then and next year will be great. But I do think it allows for more growth than you might expect, you know, from year one to year two. I think it allows for the possibility that maybe, okay, now he's seen the speed of the game. He's adjusted to that side. He's worked hard in the weight room. He did get a little bit of confidence, you know, not from like an all-pro performance against San Francisco, but from a competent performance at left tackle in a huge game against some really good edge players. And maybe that he can, be a starting right tackle, be an upgrade at right tackle over David Questenberry. I don't think that's impossible. Now, am I confident right now that someday they're going to look back and say, man, what a great pick, Dylan Raiden, second round in 2021. Fantastic. No, I can't say I'm optimistic about that. But I think with him and his situation, you got to allow a little bit more leeway.
Well, I guess, like, have the Titans, have they really lost that many players that have gone on to be key contributors elsewhere that they've drafted lately? Like, I'm thinking around the list. I mean, obviously, Adoree Jackson went to the Giants.
Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis.
I mean, Jonnu Smith was disappointing last year.
He was. Until he, like, retires and never does anything, I'm still going to be like, man, what a player.
But I guess my point is, like, have there really been that many Titans that have gone on elsewhere after moving on from here that have just lit it up, that you leave you shaking your head? I'm sure there have been some.
Conklin has been good.
But Conklin was good here.
He was
injured.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yes. Yeah, so in other words, players who weren't good here but who were good elsewhere.
Yeah, or maybe have gotten better elsewhere. Like, you know, Conklin's probably gotten better, but they wanted to keep Conklin.
Yeah, Conklin, I mean, again, Conklin All-Pro's a rookie, ACL. Conklin in 19, I think, was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's been better. And look, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I've been grading his Browns tape either, but, you know.
Not watching PFF either?
Well, that's true. I should go just review the PFF grades. They're totally accurate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Corey Davis, he did. I mean, his best season easily is his last season here to date. So we'll see. Maybe he'll all of a sudden become just a star and a bargain for the Jets. Right now, that's not the case.
I mean, the one position that you could probably make this argument at that I, in all seriousness and halfway joking, kicker. Like, kicker. The kicker's going elsewhere, and they start kicking the heck out of the ball.
No, that is true. My gosh. It's like something happens here where they leave with a golden foot and they just use it elsewhere. I mean, certainly you can look at the whole suck-up situation and say, my gosh, he should still be the kicker, and you'd have one of the best kickers in the league,
yeah,
and you blew that. So that's a great point. But, yeah, I can't think of anyone else who clearly elevated after leaving here in the Robinson era.
I mean, we may be missing someone, but no, I can't either.
Correct me if we're wrong. Did Kevin Dodd go light it up somewhere and I missed it?
USFL.
Vic Beasley. Did Vic Beasley have 12 sacks last year?
Clowney.
Well,
he was a free agent, though. He went to draft Clowney.
There is, yeah. But there is Clowney. Clowney was much better in Cleveland than he was here. I'll give him that. Yeah, I can't really think of anybody.
Well, the player development part of this too. Yes, I mean, you're going to miss on some picks, but I mean, think about it. Christian Fulton, I think, has come along pretty nicely here. David Long Jr. has come along pretty nicely. I mean, there are different examples you could point to of it the other way, of their player development actually seems like it's pretty good in a lot of instances as well. And it's not quite the same, but part of what made them good last year and their number one seed was they had so many different injuries. And they were able to find guys and plug them in and play. Now, is that player development or is that good scouting? Is that a good system fit? I'm sure it's a combination of all those things, but I factor in that a player development too. If you can bring in a Deontay Foreman or a Dontrell Hilliard or a Buster Skrine, go up and down the list, that were on the street and available for you somewhere, and to come in and play, not only play, but play really important roles for your team, I think that speaks well of their ability to coach and develop players too.
Yeah, it does. Now, you'd much rather – I mean, what gets all the attention? It's the draft and free agency, high-priced free agency. So, if you're a fan of a team, you want the draft to be good, and you should, because over time you're screwed if it's not. And then you want your big ticket free agent signings to be great. So it's not nearly as exciting to say, wow, Buster Screen came right in and really did well with some spackle on the defense. But they got the number one seed last year, and they don't do that if a lot of those stories don't go in their favor, and I don't see how you can't give them credit for that. Dennis says on the text line, brings up LeGarrette Blount. So
that was a while
ago. We're going back, but
that was one that got away.
Wait, did they not? They didn't draft him. He was in camp for sure.
Yeah, he was in camp. I don't think they drafted him. I have to go back.
But regardless, one that got away. I mean, obviously, what's his name? Who just retired from the Colts? Who used to kill the Titans? Tight end,
Jack Doyle.
Yeah, Jack Doyle, guy that they missed. Mark from Clarksville says Logan Ryan will get Super Bowl MVP this year. LOL. Probably true. Didn't draft him either, but you know, Logan Ryan was a good football player. You could have made the case to keep paying, but I don't think that was the wrong decision.
No, I don't either. And we'll see. Honestly, I didn't keep up all that much with the season that Dory Jackson had last year because it was with the Giants, and sometimes I forget the Giants are an actual NFL football team. So didn't watch a whole lot of Dory Jackson last year, but with the way the Titans defense played last year, and we'll see on Caleb Farley. That's part of this, but did you really miss Dory Jackson all that much last year? My answer would be no.
No. Like, would Dory Jackson at his best, would he have been better than, like, Jenkins last year? I'd say yes. Probably. But after that weird 2020 year where he was hurt all year.
Especially
was,
how much money he got paid.
Yeah, it's – you got to keep churning. You got to keep churning. Yeah, but Caleb Farley, obviously a huge, huge question mark. And if you go through, you know, the draft picks, I just had to do this kind of going through for something at the Athletic, you know, like the Titans draft page and kind of analyzing their last five first picks of the draft. And look, they've had two since J-Rod's been GM that you're like, okay, great job. It's Jack Conklin and it's Jeff Simmons.
Yep.
And everything else, it's Corey Davis. Yeah, pretty good. Not number five. Adoree Jackson. Yeah, he's pretty good. Probably not a first round player. And on and on and on. And then obviously you have worse than that going down to Isaiah Wilson at the bottom. Now, that's still, you know, for this draft, if they draft right tackle, and maybe they will, then that's still a reaction to Isaiah Wilson. And, of course, Dylan Raiden's last year was a reaction to Isaiah Wilson, and this year would be a reaction to both Wilson and Raiden's, which would not be great.
It would not.
But if that makes your football team better, that's how you have to go about it.
This week's Nashville's Best Deal is 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob rant this week. Robbie Stanley's rant of the week.
Yes.
Max Herz dodging the rant this week. That's okay. We'll get to him at some point. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, Ryan, obviously the results on the ice speak for themselves, but just from your vantage point, how much different is the vibe with this group now than it was, you know, 3.5-4 weeks ago?
We're vibing, Robbie. We're feeling good. We're, you know, it's a simple recipe to have fun. You go out and come to the rink every day, you work hard, and we obviously love what we do, and we just have fun every single day, and you know, kind of getting back to the basics after a tough start, and just coming and putting our work boots on and working for each other and having fun, and that kind of pointed us in the right direction and snowballed from there, and you know, we've had each other's back since day one, and that's come out here in the last 15 games or so, and we've stuck together and dug ourselves out of a hole and working ourselves into a good spot.
Hey, Robbie. Still vibing, kid?
Still vibing,
bud. We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing. 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 We're vibing, Robbie.
We are vibing here on the show. Max Harris had way too much fun putting that together. Look at his face right now.
I remember the first time that Ryan Porth introduced that, he was so excited. He was like dancing wildly in the booth.
It's been almost a little bit over a year ago now. I saw it in my Facebook memory the other day. It was like a year ago I don't know, 3 or 4 days the ago, original, the Vibin was created.
The original saying of Vibin by Johansson?
Yep.
Okay. Nice.
T-shirts have been made since then.
Yes, they have been. I've got one.
We're vibing here on the program. It is time for the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every day at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. So I'm going to feel like kind of an old man doing this one, but I'm going to do it anyway. Good. So, look, I think we all know this. At least I hope we do. Sometimes on the roadway, you're in the left-hand lane. And my rant's not about the roadway, but I just am kind of setting things up here. You're in the left-hand lane, and you look back in your rearview mirror. Let's say it's the interstate. The speed limit's 70 miles an hour. You're going 75. You're feeling good about yourself. And somebody behind you is about 3 centimeters away from running you over. So what do? You can either, slam on your brakes, I guess, and cause a real incident, or you can just get over to the right and let them pass you and then move along with your day, just getting out of the way of people who are moving a little bit faster than you are. This same logic should apply on the golf course, okay? Let me tell you this. I was at a certain local golf course a couple of weeks ago, and being the hours of our show what they are, 6 to 10 a.m., sometimes I'm done around 11:30 with my work day, and I can get out there and play some golf. So I've done this a few times, especially as the weather has gotten warmer over the past few weeks. And usually because of our ridiculous work schedule that other normal humans can't identify with, there's really nobody for me to play golf with. So oftentimes I do it by myself throughout the course of the week. So I'm out there a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just cranking through some holes. I mean, it's just me out there. I probably get 5 or 6 holes into it, moving right along. And then I come up behind this foursome on the course. They're probably, 65, 70-year-old men out there playing, which is fine. They play some golf out there. Have no problem with that. And I catch up to them, and I have to wait, which is fine. Again, have no problem with that. But eventually I figure, all right, I'm right behind them. They're kind of struggling to hit the ball off the tee anyway. Maybe they're new. I don't know what's going on. But they're eventually just going to let me play through because I'm one guy. I can tee off. I hop in the cart. I can be out of their way in 45 seconds if they just let me play through. That is not the case. I get stuck behind these guys from hole 6 to hole 18, even at the turn, going from 9 to 10, nothing. I'm just sitting here. I spend half my day just waiting on these guys. And I thought this was golf etiquette. You just let the people play through that are much faster than you are. And I'm not saying I'm good at golf. I'm just one person. All it takes is one person and get around these four people and nothing. Didn't offer. Didn't look at me. Matter of fact, just kind of looked at me like, hey, why are you behind us all the time, like pressuring us? Like, move on. Do something else. Skip ahead of us. Go to a different hole. Like, I paid for 18 holes. I'm not skipping ahead. I'm playing every hole. That's what I paid for. Nothing.
So okay.
Let people through.
Now, that's amazing. A foursome with one person not letting him play through?
Yeah.
So they were getting a few weird looks.
Oh, yeah. One time I hit one, and I really got a hold of it and didn't expect to. And I came within, probably 40 yards of one of them. Good. So I was like, oh, boy. But they looked at me after that like, oh, my gosh, he's hitting into us. I'm like, well, just let me play through, and you don't have to worry about this. There's nobody in front of him either. So what I probably should have done is just sped right around him and gone on and played and just skip the hole. But it was the principle of the matter. I paid for 18 holes. Yeah. By God, I wanted to play 18 holes.
Yeah, no.
So there I said. I just sat there and waited the whole time.
It's a very simple thing. This is not.
Apparently it's not. Now, the one defense I have is maybe these people are new at golf, and they just don't know. Like, maybe they don't know that you're supposed to let people play through. But I thought.
How bad were they?
They were pretty bad.
If they were horrific, then I guess you could be okay. Maybe it's,
well, I'll say this: they hit the ball straight. It just didn't go far. So if you're hitting the ball straight, it probably tells me you've played.
You've played a certain amount, and they're
older.
They were 65, 70 years old, and probably played some.
They might play every day, but maybe it was just my face. Like all of a sudden, we're running into problems where maybe I'm mean. People don't say thank you when I hold the doors open heading into restaurants. They don't let me play through on the golf course. Maybe it's me, man. That's what I'm starting to realize.
I will say on the doors, I try to hold the door whenever I can. I've been pretty much consistently getting thank yous, which is good. But maybe this is because I didn't really notice as much before. Maybe people heard you and they're afraid of you.
I will say, the last week or so, I've held doors open every time. I've gotten a thank you. So maybe we're starting to make some progress around
maybe
here.
We're making society better.
Maybe so.
Maybe this is going to help people. If you're on the golf course today, yeah, again, it gets a little – obviously, if it's like, you know, a twosome and another twosome, and maybe the twosome behind is a little bit better, I still think in that instance – yeah, go ahead. You guys, you know, you play through. You guys are just more efficient. You're better. You're hitting in the fairway. Just go.
Now, I get it. Like,
but four with one
yeah.
individual, that's ridiculous.
Like, if there's if there's two or three behind me, like, I'll let you through once. Like, I'm not letting the whole golf course through if I'm a member of a foursome. And, like, sometimes you just have to wait. I get that. But if it's one guy, yeah. especially, like,
it's on hole six.
I don't get on the tee. I don't spend too much time. Like, I'm not Tiger Woods out there. I'm not sitting here like, well, let's account for the wind. What's going on? I get up there and I hit, and then I move on. It's probably not the way I should do it, but I get up there and I hit. So at that point, just let me through. I would have been done probably, I'm not kidding, an hour and 45 minutes earlier than I got done.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Gosh. They at least buy you an iced tea after the round?
Nothing.
No.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nate on the text line says, Robbie, don't sound like an old man. Some people aren't considerate. What makes you more upset? The no thank you for holding the door open? Or the golf course thing. Probably the no thank you for the door thing. Like the golf course, it upset me at the moment, but I'm leaving open the possibility that these people just didn't know. Like, it's pretty common knowledge when somebody holds the door open for you, maybe to say thank you. There's at least a chance that these golfers did not know proper golf etiquette,
yeah.
which I mean, can excuse.
Yeah, it's common sense too, but it yeah. is. Mark's from Clarksville saying this should also apply to mini golf.
Get out of the way. Do people play through in mini golf?
I've never seen that, but I'm not against that. You know, if you got a whole bunch of kids just whacking the ball around and you have like two yeah. people. Public courses do not require golf etiquette. I've seen shirtless dudes playing at McCabe.
Hey.
Well, that may be true.
Get after it.
Have you guys ever played the Sounds mini golf course?
Yeah.
There's a lot of playthrough going on there. When I'm
there's
playing.
A lot of playthrough there.
That is yeah. like Augusta times 10.
Yeah.
Frank says, Robbie, that's life on a public course. Just skip a hole or join a private club.
Well, maybe so.
If you were a millionaire like me, you could do that, Robbie.
Steven texting in says, crazy thought. Have you considered just pulling up and saying, hey, it's just me playing. Do you mind if I play through? Just a thought. I didn't really consider that. I thought at some point they'd just do it, but I probably should have. Probably
yeah.
just been like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Mind if I just hop up?
You shouldn't have to do that.
But the problem is, like.
But if you save yourself an hour and a half, then maybe it's worth it.
Well, the problem is, by the time I got done waiting on them and they were far enough away for me to tee off, by the time I got up to the next hole, they had already, at least two of them had hit. So I guess I could have just said, hey, you two, hold on a second. Let me get up here and hit real quick.
Yeah. Keith says first world problems.
Yes, thank you, Keith.
Ty says, Rob, you got to send one up to their feet. Works every time.
I did on the 18th hole. That was the same day that I told you I hit that 300-yard drive. Maybe I was pissed. I just got out there and just cranked one. Finally, we reached the end of the golf course.
They were trying to help you.
Well, maybe it worked. Maybe so. I got somebody that says, is it inconsiderate to ask to play through? I don't know. I've never had to do that. Is that proper golf etiquette to ask to play through?
Hey, guys.
Yeah,
probably not, but it may be worth it at some point. And again, if the other side is completely abandoning golf etiquette, then, you know, yeah. it's not the worst.
It was a public course, so maybe going back to the original point, it's a little bit different on a public course. I don't know.
Here's a text on the text line that has now triggered me. They should have let you play through, but you're foolish sitting behind them all day. They should have let you. O-V-O-F. It should have let you. It is not should of let you. Now, should of with an apostrophe V-E, that is fine. It should have let you through.
It's grammar hour here on the text line.
Supposedly, people know grammar and the English language, and yet they consistently fail.
Yeah,
okay, that was a little mean. I'm sorry.
Got a text that says, if your time for an hour and 45 minutes is worth more than the cost of playing divided by 18, then you made the wrong decision and wasted both your time and your money. Give up the hole, yo. I guess I could have.
But I'm with you. Like, a matter of principle, like, no, I'm playing 18, man. I guess it's fair at some point, guys. But
Hey, guys.
I don't know that I would have done that.
Did you hop out of the way? Your 95-yard drives off the tee are impressive, but We'll top out of the way. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press will join us. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans, the Preds, and the Memphis Grizzlies, beginning the NBA playoffs as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.